KPBS has partnered with StoryCorps for the One Small Step program. We invite you to sign up to have a conversation with a person that may have different views, so you may talk, not about politics, but to understand each other better. Sign up at kpbs.org/onesmallstep.
Good morning, I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. It's Tuesday, March 3rd. We're bringing you local reaction to the U.S. attacks on Iran. More on that next, but first, the headlines. A recent report from the San Diego Regional Economic Development Corporation, aka the EDC, shows that employment during last year's fourth quarter improved just slightly. An almost 1.5% increase overall was seen compared to the same period in 2024. The EDC's quarterly snapshot shows drops in some areas while others saw growth. Nearly 7% growth was seen in social assistance and healthcare jobs, while there was an almost 2.5% drop in professional and business services. According to the EDC, while this first quarter of 2026 has shown signs of relief, San Diego's cost of living remains a crucial sticking point for economic growth in the year ahead. Registration for California's Dream for All program is open now through March 16th. The program is for first-generation homebuyers and will cover up to 20% in assistance towards either a down payment for a home or closing costs. Those who get assistance through the program must repay the original down payment plus a share of the home's appreciation when they sell. As of this past weekend, and at long last for some, the Torrey Pines State Natural Reserve is open again and back in action. After 4 months of limited access, the park road, upper parking lots, the lodge, and of course the very popular hiking trails are now all open. This latest phase of construction was focused on accessibility improvements and upgrades at the reserve. California State Parks says that new parking stalls and new pedestrian walkways are just some of the new on-site amenities that you can encounter at the natural reserve. Construction is now paused, but phase two is set to begin in August or September. From KPBS, you're listening to San Diego News Now. Stay with me for more of the local news you need.
KPBS Roundtable offers perspectives from those telling San Diego stories. Join us for weekly conversations with reporters and storytellers, adding depth and context to the headlines driving the news in the San Diego region. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Leaders in San Diego's Iranian community say they are relieved at the death of that country's supreme leader. But reporter Jacob Ayer says they're also expressing mixed emotions for what comes next.
Ayatollah Ali Khamenei, Iran's supreme leader, was killed Saturday by U.S. and Israeli strikes. He was in power for nearly 37 years. Locally, news of his assassination brought joy for members of the Iranian diaspora, says 75-year-old Sharam Humanyunfar. He's been helping to organize weekly protests against Iran's leadership outside the federal courthouse in downtown San Diego.
We are happy that those people have been killed, but where it's going, it's concerning. We want to make sure that at the end, the people of Iran get the democracy and freedom that they deserve.
According to one human rights agency, at least 7,000 people have been killed since January in a crushing government response to public protest. Humanyunfar plans another protest in downtown San Diego Tuesday afternoon. Jacob Ayer, KPBS News.
Thousands of San Diego service members are participating in airstrikes against Iran. Military reporter Andrew Dyer says the Pentagon and Trump administration aren't offering many details about why the war is necessary or what victory looks like.
San Diego-based aircraft carrier Abraham Lincoln is one of two carriers engaged in the airstrikes. In San Diego Monday, Democratic Representative Scott Peters criticized the administration for bypassing Congress and said he's concerned about U.S. casualties.
In San Diego, we feel this more directly than a lot of places. We know what it's like to send people overseas. We know what it's like to lose people, what it's like for them and their families.
The San Diego Democrats' district includes Naval Air Station North Island, the home port of the Lincoln. It also includes Marine Corps Air Station Miramar, home to the Marine F-35 squadron assigned to the carrier. At the Pentagon Monday, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth declined to go into specifics about plans for the operation.
Going forward, why in the world would we tell you, the enemy, anybody, what we will or will not do in pursuit of an objective?
Critics of the strike say it's not clear what those objectives are or what victory looks like. Andrew Dyer, KPBS News.
Some of the world's wealthiest and most powerful people have been linked to sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. One of them, Deepak Chopra, is a prominent author and wellness guru and a professor at UC San Diego. Thousands of pages show Chopra communicated with Epstein over the years. Now, UCSD says Chopra's affiliation with the university will end at the end of June. Midday Edition host Jade Hindman was joined by Voice of San Diego's education reporter, Jacob McWinney, to talk about what the documents show.
How and when did we first find out that Chopra was included in the Epstein files?
Yeah, our first indication came in December with the release of about 20,000 documents from the House Oversight Committee. Those documents showed that Chopra and Epstein met at least a dozen times from 2016 to 2019. And it's important to note that Chopra and Epstein's relationship began already about a decade after Epstein was arrested for soliciting sex with a minor. And that sweetheart deal back in 2008, during which he was incarcerated at this kind of cushy prison that allowed him to leave for 12 hours at a time, really kind of set the stage for the whole scandal that we're living through now. In one email between the two men, Epstein shared a link to a 2016 article about a woman who had dropped a civil lawsuit claiming that President Donald Trump had raped her at a sex party hosted by Epstein.
How old?
A woman who said that as a 13-year-old, President Donald Trump had raped her. Yes, exactly. So Chopra responded to that email and said, did she also drop the civil case against you? Epstein responded saying, yep. And Chopra responded, good.
What kind of rhetoric is used to describe women?
Sure. Now, just a disclaimer here, you know, there is lots of conversation about girls. It's unclear exactly what they mean by girls, whether these are, you know, minors. In addition to that, you know, just being included in the Epstein files, having interacted with him or exchanged messages with him does not by itself mean that somebody has engaged in wrongdoing. But that being said, they contain quite a few examples of sort of disturbing language regarding girls and women. In one text conversation that I just referenced.
Do you know if they're directed, the comments, if they're directed at girls or women?
It's difficult to tell. I mean, the phrase girls, I think, colloquially can be used to refer to either. And there are not necessarily ages included in these emails, so it's difficult to tell. Mm. In one conversation that I referenced earlier, the pair, redacted number, who appears to be Epstein, speaks to Chopra about a girl that he'd picked up on the street. And the person then texts Chopra about Chopra's interaction with the girl that, quote, I liked watching you zero in on your prey, made me smile. In response, Chopra texted back, I'm not a predator, just a lover.
How has Chopra publicly responded to the release of these files and his name being in them?
Yeah, he has responded with a social media post in which he says, quote, I was never involved in nor did I participate in any criminal or exploitative conduct. Any contact I had was limited and unrelated to abusive activity. But he also wrote that some past email exchanges have surfaced that reflect poor judgment in tone. I regret that and understand how they read today, given what was publicly known at the time. I mean, it is an example, though. Chopra was just one of many, many, many wealthy, powerful, many men, but often sometimes women, who decided that despite the fact that Epstein was known convicted sex criminal, that they would still interact with him and they would still have conversations that went not just from the, you know, sexual, but at times pretty lurid.
Hmm. What information have you been able to get from the university in response to this information and the release of recent Epstein files?
The university did not respond to multiple requests that I'd made prior, but they have now made a response. They emailed me that Dr. Chopra is currently a voluntary clinical professor without salary in the School of Medicine's Department of Family Medicine, and his expected job end date is June 30th, 2026. And they say, quote, he does not have any active responsibilities at UCSD or UC San Diego, nor will he have any active responsibilities at any point between now and the conclusion of the appointment term. While we are not able to comment further on personnel matters, the crimes Jeffrey Epstein committed were horrific, and any association with him is regrettable.
That was Voice of San Diego's education reporter Jacob McWinney speaking to KPBS Midday Edition host Jade Hindman. Another prominent local Republican has left the GOP going into this year's election season. For this week's Why It Matters segment, Voice of San Diego's Scott Lewis explains why former Coronado Mayor Richard Bailey left the party behind as he launched a campaign for San Diego City Council.
Bailey changed his voter registration from Republican to no party preference the same day he announced he was running. The switch was not a surprise. He's running for City Council District 2, and the area does not identify much with Republicans. Vice President Kamala Harris won the district by 30 points over President Donald Trump. El Cajon City Councilmember Gary Kendrick is one of the longest-serving elected officials in the county, and 2 weeks ago, he also left the Republican Party. Unlike Kendrick, Bailey is not becoming a Democrat. In a recent interview, he refused to say whether he supported President Donald Trump. And just 2 years ago, Bailey was one of the leaders of the Republican Party, an active member of its local central committee. He says he does not want to talk about partisan national politics at all.
At the end of the day, it wasn't the president that put the city in the position it's in. It was the elected leaders at City Hall.
Bailey's hoping to tap into resentment about new fees, deteriorating infrastructure, and the homeless crisis. But the race will be a major test. Nicole Crosby, a former prosecutor in the city attorney's office, Josh Coyne, a nonprofit leader, and Ocean Beach activist Mandy Havlick are also running. For Voice San Diego, I'm Scott Lewis, and that's why it matters.
Late last year, the San Diego district attorney announced a successful prosecution against a gang in the city's Mountain View neighborhood. In this second part of a two-part series, reporter J.W. August details how police and prosecutors made their case.
During the summer of 2022, undercover investigators were able to capture surveillance video around Mike's Market in San Diego's Mountain View neighborhood. Here's San Diego County District Attorney Summer Steffen describing the scene.
So this wasn't just a gang-controlled area where they were selling drugs and, you know, pushing people around.
Add to it gun sales, robberies, and murders. The video is a centerpiece of a three-year effort by Steffen's office and the San Diego Police Department gang unit, known as Operation Mic Drop.
One of the things that we noticed at Mike's Market is that it operated like a drive-through. So a car could pull in, approach a gang member that was there to sell drugs, pull up alongside him, gang member would reach in, conduct the sale, and then people would go on their merry way.
Deputy District Attorney Miriam Hemming was the lead prosecutor in the effort against the members and the associates of the gang, an offshoot of the Bloods gang.
They are what is considered to be a generational gang, which is that it's kept very much within the family. You might have grandparents, uncles, cousins, brothers, etc., that are in the gang.
And they had a dedicated customer base.
Customers at Mike's Market stand every age and every race, from the very young to the very old, everyone you can imagine.
The neighborhood has long been heavily policed, but Steffen says it was traditional policing, responding to calls and making arrests. It was ineffective. Members of the community felt unsafe. This already bad situation had gotten worse coming out of the pandemic.
Essentially holding the community hostage, under siege in crime.
Henry Lee Wallace was worried. As a longtime member of the Black Panther Party, he ran a feeding program which included the addicts and homeless who circled the parking lot. He was seeing how the market had become very dangerous.
I did time before, so I recognized a bad situation Should I keep going in there, feeding people, knowing that this is not legal what they're doing?
Wallace decided to shut down the feeding.
There was literally in the air, you could feel fear.
Steve Marin is pastor of the Bridge Church, which is right across the street from the market. He and his parishioners had a direct line of sight.
People would bend over to tie their shoe, and you would see that they're, you know, packing guns and openly selling drugs.
It was what Marin showed to the SDPD community affairs officer for Mountain View. Their meeting played a key role in the decision to launch Operation Mic Drop. Previously, if a black and white patrol car was spotted, the action moved off the street, into the store, and out of sight of the police. But once Operation Mic Drop launched, undercover officers joined the dealers inside the market.
We did have law enforcement agents that were wearing body wires.
Gang members questioned anyone coming into the store. Here's part of one conversation heard on an undercover wire.
Where are you from?
Not here. I clearly just said that earlier. Why do it matter?
It was discovered that gangsters and two store employees were paying people cash for EBT government assistance cards at a fraction of their true value. They would ring up $200 and give them $100 in cash.
They would get cash in hand, and then a gang member would be there and available to sell drugs to them.
The EBT scam led to the FBI and the U.S. Department of Agriculture joining Mic Drop and ultimately finding more than $2 million in welfare fraud.
We brought our task force with the partners we needed to get the job done.
Market was raided in the fall of 2022, the payoff of a six-month effort that included 90 days of surveillance. In the end, the DA's office successfully prosecuted 22 gang members and associates.
We began to see that there was an immediate change, immediately.
And data shows the change has been lasting. Since Mic Drop, the DA's office says there's been a 75% decrease in service calls and a 50% drop in arrests in the area surrounding the market. And no reported robberies, and no reported murders. J.W. August, KPBS News.
Controversy over bike lanes in North County continues after the Encinitas City Council upended a recent project this past week. Public Matters reporter Jake Gatta says the back and forth is costing the city millions.
Encinitas is removing a protected bike lane in front of San Dieguito Academy less than a year after it was installed. The city council plans to replace it with an unprotected lane sandwiched between parked cars and traffic. Protected bike lanes running to and from the high school were built in 2025 for more than $4 million. But the city immediately started getting complaints, primarily over the back-end parking the redesign created.
Most of them rank and file out there drive cars, and they don't understand back-end parking. They can't use it. They don't understand how to use it.
That was Mayor Bruce Ehlers at Wednesday's city council meeting. He also said emergency vehicles can't get through because of traffic jams. The city expects this redesign to cost more than $3 million, money that Councilmember Joy Linz said could have gone to other important projects around town. Linz also said there was plenty of support for keeping protected lanes on both sides of the street.
At this special meeting, there were 121 pages of written public comment submitted, with over 90% supporting not wasting the taxpayer money and supporting just finishing and improving, or improve, not remove.
She was the lone vote against the reconfiguration that ultimately passed. Jake Gatta, KPBS News.
The city of San Diego has rolled out its new parking rates for Balboa Park. Parking is now free for San Diego residents in some lots. But reporter John Carroll says museum leaders in the park say even the new situation is unacceptable.
The city has been charging for parking in Balboa Park since January 5th. They say since then they've collected about $1 million. That money and future revenues from parking fees will all go toward improvements to the park and maintenance, including the museum buildings the city owns. City spokesperson Jose Isaya says the city can't afford to be a good steward of the park without those funds.
Well, the beauty of the park is its architecture, are the buildings, are these old trees, and you know, just there's just so much history. But to preserve that history, it takes money, you know, and these deteriorated buildings, these old buildings need to be maintained and repaired.
But museum leaders say visitor numbers have been way down since the fees went into effect. Air and Space Museum President and CEO Jim Kidrick says if the fees aren't rolled back, some museums could go under. The city started issuing warning notices Monday to people who don't pay for parking. They say they'll start issuing tickets on March 16th. John Carroll, KPBS News.
That's it for the podcast today. As always, you can find more San Diego news online at kpbs.org. I'm Lawrence K. Jackson. Thanks for listening and subscribing. By doing so, you're supporting public media, and I thank you for that. Have a great day. Have a great day. Have a great day.
There can be a lot to worry about when selling a car, but not when you donate it to this station. Donate your old car, truck, or RV to help pay for the programs you enjoy and rely on. Here's how.
Call 877-KPBS-CAR.